chapter 3. If you will, we'll stand for the reading of the Word of God, Psalm chapter 3, verse 1. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. Selah. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter up of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. Selah. I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. Selah. Father, we thank you for the word of God. We thank you for your presence here this morning. Thank you for the privilege that we have to preach the word. Father, we acknowledge our dependence upon you. Pray for the anointing of the Holy Ghost this morning. Ask you to bless this congregation through the word of God, and we'll give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I'd like to preach for a few minutes this morning on confidence in the midst of a crisis. My text is a composition that was written by King David concerning the insurrection that was made against him by his son Absalom. 2 Samuel chapter 15 relates the story of Absalom stealing the hearts of the men of Israel and creating an uprising against his father David and proclaiming himself to be king. And of all the trials that David ever faced in his life, I'm sure that this must have been one of the hardest trials that David ever faced, one of the most bitter and difficult to bear. And I think that we can learn from how David handled this crisis, because many of us face difficult circumstances in life, bitter trials in life. But it is possible for us to go through the worst of times with our faith and our confidence in God unshaken. And I want to point out from this text this morning, I want us to see David's crisis, and then I want us to see David's cry, and finally, I want us to see David's confidence. First of all, there's this crisis, and you see in the first verse of my text, he says, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. David was faced with overwhelming opposition. His son Absalom had plotted the overthrow of his father for some time and had, through flattery, stolen the hearts of the men of Israel. When they came for judgment to the king, he would meet them and he would indicate to them, if I were the king, then your case, you know, I'd take your case and so forth. And he won the hearts of the men of Israel over time. And then went to Hebron and had his friends to proclaim himself to be king. And word came to David. And the Bible tells us that the men that were with Absalom increased and grew, and the rebellion became very strong, and to the point that David had to flee for his life, left Jerusalem and fled for his life. Sometimes in our lives, the enemy comes in like a flood. You know, it was building over time and under the radar, and we didn't see it coming. And there's a sudden crisis in our life that we didn't foresee, and we're overwhelmed by the circumstances and opposition that we face. Sometimes it's family problems, problems between husbands and wives that are created over time. Sometimes just through neglect of our relationship, and we take for granted each other until there's a crisis that comes along in our marriage, in our homes, and we fail to keep the home fires a burning. And then sometimes it's the health of ourselves or some loved one that's dear to us. We took it for granted all those years that we'd always be healthy and everything would go just right. And all of a sudden health is gone and we're dependent on the government or somebody else. And life changes, and sometimes it's the main breadwinner in the home, and we're in a financial crisis, and life becomes constrained, and we are in a great trial of life. Sometimes it's through our children. We're alienated from our children. The devil drives a wedge between us and those who are precious to us, those that we had better hopes for, and all of a sudden, those sweet children that grew up in our home, that we trained them and we prayed with them and we took them to the house of God, and then something happens, you know, and there's something wakes up in them that was dormant all along, and we are faced with rebellion and shame and disgrace in our children. And sometimes it may be that we are faced with false accusations against us, against our character. And someone, you know, brings up some false accusation against us. And our reputation is at stake. And all of a sudden we feel like that everybody is against us. And we are, those people who once called us don't call us anymore. And even family members avoid us, and we're in a crisis. We're overwhelmed by a crisis in our life. And most people at some point in life is going to face an overwhelming crisis in your life. But it wasn't just this overwhelming opposition that David faced that created this crisis. But there were numerous doubters who said in verse 2, many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. And there may have been maybe a couple of reasons why they were saying this, that there is no help for him in God. These doubters, you see. And they may have remembered the sin that David had done in his past, committing adultery with Bathsheba. And perhaps they thought God is not interested in helping this man, because you see the sin that this man committed in his past. God is not for him. And after all, this rebellion of his son is due to the fact that this man has grievously sinned against God. I'm telling you, brother, that even though our sins may be forgiven, Satan tries to bring up our past in order to destroy our faith in the present. And no doubt there were those who remembered David's past, and they said there is no help for him in God. Y'all remember the prophet Elijah going to the widow's home, and her son dies. And when her son dies, she says to the man of God, "Oh, man of God, have you come here to call to mind my sin?" It seemed like to her that this boy died because there's some sin in her past. And sometimes the devil brings up those things, even when they're under the blood of Christ, to try to destroy our faith in the present crisis of our life. But not only are these people saying to David that there is no help for him in God because perhaps of his sin in the past, but because they may think that God is unable to help David in this crisis. The odds are too great. It seems like that practically the whole nation has joined forces with Absalom against David, and not even God can pull this one out. But the Bible tells us, is there anything too hard for God? And Jeremiah answers that and says, there is nothing too hard for our God. And he told Jeremiah, he said, call unto me and I will answer thee, and I will show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. You may have seen God do some great things, but you haven't seen him do everything. And brother, no matter what God has done for you and what mighty miracles God has done for you, you haven't seen the last of what God can do. Brother Randy quoted that scripture, "Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised." And the Bible says his greatness is unsearchable. The disciples were often surprised at what Jesus did. Even after they'd seen great miracles, after they'd seen Jesus do wonderful things, and then they see him calm the storm, speak peace, be still. And they say, "What manner of man is this that even the winds and the waves obey his will?" Brother, I'm telling you, God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Secondly, I want you to see David's cry in verses 3 and 4. The Bible tells us, David said, "But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter up of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. He heard me out of his holy hill." Selah, meditate on that. Think on that. The cry of David's cry was a response, first of all, to the prophets of doom, to the doubters, who said there is no help for him in God. But he said, "But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. You are my glory and the lifter up of mine head. Lord, you are my shield. You're my covering. You're my protection." This man knew something about that, because as a lad, marching out to give provisions to his brothers, hearing the challenge of Goliath, something rose up in this young man. He said, "I'll meet that challenge in the name of the Lord." And they took him to Saul, and Saul said, "Son, you're just a youth. That man's a warrior from his youth. You can't do this." And he said, "I believe I can. God's already worked for me. He gave me victory over the bear and over the lion. I believe you'll give me victory over this giant too." And Saul said, "Well, son, take this armor." And so he put this armor on David. And David said, "I can't go with this. I haven't proved this." Took the armor off. Walked out into the valley. Picked up 5 smooth stones. Had his little slingshot with him. Went out to face the giant. He won the victory that day, because the Lord was his shield. He knew that God had been his protector, that God had been his covering. 3 times Saul had thrown his javelin at David to kill him, and God had been his shield, and God had been his protector. And when they said there is no help for him in God, David said, "Lord, thou art my shield. You've been my protector. You've been my covering. You are my shield. But not only my shield, you are my glory." This man who had been discounted by his family, when Samuel came to anoint a new king for Israel, and all 7 of Jesse's sons marched before him, and Samuel thought, sure, this was the one. And God turned them all down. And Samuel said, "Have you got another one?" "Yeah, the youngest one. He's over there keeping the sheep." He was discounted by his family. But when he marched up before Samuel, God said, "That's the man right there. I want you to pour the oil on him. He's a man after God's own heart." David said, "God is my glory." When he's been discounted by his family, he was honored by God, chosen by God. He was doubted by Saul. "Son, you're just a youth. This man is a warrior from his youth." And when David went out to meet Goliath, the Bible tells us when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth. But you know, when the battle was over with, the women were singing, "Saul had slain his thousands and David had slain his 10,000s because God was his glory, brother. God gave him the victory. Discounted by his family, disdained by Goliath, but glorified by God, honored by God. Lord, you have been my glory." And now then that he's dishonored by his son, by his friends who've turned against him, by his subjects who have become his enemies. David said, Lord, they say there's no help for me in God, but you are my glory. And you are the lifter up of mine head. 2 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 30 tells us that David wept when he went up by the ascent of Mount Olivet. He wept as he went up. He had his head covered. He went barefoot. All the people that was with him covered every man his head. They went up weeping as they went up. But the Lord was the lifter up of his head. And this is the man that said in Psalms chapter 30 and verse 5, for his anger endureth but a moment. In his favor is life. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. In other words, David said to the Lord, what my enemies say of you is different from what I know of you. They say there is no help for me in God, but you have been my shield, my glory, and the lifter up of my head. I know you to be different from what my enemies are saying about you. Brother, I'm telling you, sometimes we just got to encourage ourselves in the Lord and remember what God has been to us in the past. Praise God. But his cry was not only a response to the doubters. His cry was a response to the crisis at hand. In verse 4, I cried unto the Lord with my voice. He heard me out of his holy hill. I cried. This verb, I cried, is the imperfect tense that indicates repeated action. Prayer for David was a habit. It was something that David did continually. It was something that David did as a habit of life. It wasn't just something that he reserved for emergencies in life. He didn't just start praying when Absalom rose up against him. This man was a praying man. And help was readily available to him because he knew his God and stayed in contact with God. And I'm telling you that help is readily available to those who are not strangers before the throne of God. This man was no stranger to God. He was a man that cried to God continually. He's the man that said in Psalms chapter 37 verses 13 and 14, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31, the prophet says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Hallelujah. This man said, I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me out of his holy hill. And finally, I want you to see his confidence, David's confidence. David said in verse 5, I laid me down and slept. I waked, for the Lord sustained me. And he went on to say, I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God. Thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth to the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. This is the confidence of the man of God. And the fruit of his confidence was rest. He said, I laid down and slept. Many there were that were arrayed against me, but I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me, and I laid down and slept. Reminds me of Peter when they were going to kill him the next day, and the angel has to come and wake him up. He's locked in there between soldiers, and the angel has to come and wake him up. He's supposed to be killed the next day, and he's asleep. He's resting. I'm telling you, brother, this is the kind of God we've got who can give us rest in the midst of the worst trial of our life. And God can give us such confidence that we can find rest in God. And his confidence gave him fearlessness. I will not fear, he says. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. The confidence that he had in God made him fearless in the face of his adversary. And he had confidence in future victory. As he says in verse 7 of my text, "Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God. For thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly." Smiting the enemy, the cheek of the enemy upon the cheekbone. Smiting his enemies upon the cheekbone is demonstrating dishonor to them. And he says that thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. You've disarmed them like the teeth of a broken lion. You've disarmed them. You have shamed them and disarmed them. And he's speaking in the future tense. He's speaking as if the victory is already his, that God's already done that. I'm telling you, brother, that this is the kind of faith that sees the victory before the battle is over. You hear me? I said this is the kind of faith that sees the victory before the battle is over. We might not have finished the battle, but we already know what the outcome is. We know that God's going to give us the victory, and we declare it. God, you have done this. You have smitten mine enemies. You have given me the victory. This is the kind of faith that we must have, brother. We must see the victory before the battle's over. And here is the foundation of his confidence in verse 8. He says, "Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people." Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. In other words, God is our deliverer. Jesus has the power to deliver. No matter what the circumstances are, no matter what the odds against us are, Jesus has the power to deliver us. He has the power to change lives. He has the power to strengthen the saints. He has the power to bring beauty out of ashes. He has power to turn seeming defeat into glorious victory, brother. And he went on to say that thy blessing is upon thy people. Brother, as the people of God, we have been given exceeding great and precious promises. We are not promised a bed of roses, but we are promised divine companionship. The Bible says, Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6, "Let your conversation be without covetousness. Be content with such things as ye have. For he, God, hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me." I'm telling you, brother, this is the kind of confidence that gets us through the crisis. I can say boldly, "The Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me." Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 19 says, "When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him." There's a banner over us. The banner of the Lord over us is the banner of love. There's a flag flying, brother, that this territory belongs to God. You understand? We don't belong to the devil. We belong to God. God lifts up a standard over us and lets us know who we belong to, lets our adversary know who we belong to. The Lord is for us. If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? I'm telling you, brother, his banner is over his people. It'll be there when the battle's over. I thought about Francis Scott Key on that battleship out in the harbor, watching the bombardment. Was it Fort Henry? All through the night. And he said, "I could see that flag a-flying as the bombs bursted in air. And when the dawning of the light came, his heart was refreshed to see that the flag was still flying." Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I'm telling you, brother, when the battle is over with, the flag will still be flying. When the enemy comes in like a flood, and the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him, his banner over us will still be flying when the battle is over. Miss Jonathan Goforth, some of you may have heard of Jonathan Goforth, the great Presbyterian missionary to China, early 20th century, first Presbyterian missionary to China. And his wife told of a trip that she and her husband made to a particular area of China. They had to stay in a dwelling that she said it was just an ice house. Holes in the walls and cold and wind blowing. And she was sick and had a bad cold, and the north wind was blowing through the cracks and the holes in the house. Outside there was a cold rain falling. And inside she was walking on dirt floors trying to stay warm. And she was so sick she couldn't go with her husband to the meetings. And they had three unexpected guests to drop in on them. And when those guests left, all the food was gone. Cupboard was bare. Here she was sick and in this condition and the food gone. And she said she was walking the floors with what little energy she could get up, just trying to stay warm. And she cried to God and said, "Oh God, why, oh why, should I be called to bear such hardness when so many of my sisters know nothing of a life like this?" And she said she'd hardly uttered those words when there was a man appeared at the door with a box and a letter. And this box and this letter was from their guest, who had noticed how depleted their supplies were and had sent them some provisions. And while she's unwrapping those provisions, she happened to tear the paper, and she looked over and spotted a poem on part of that torn paper. And she picked it up and she read it, and God spoke to her. The title of the poem was, "Is This the Right Road Home? Is this the right road home, O Lord? The clouds are dark and still. The stony path is hard to tread. Each step brings some fresh hill. I thought the way would brighter grow, and that the sun with warmth would glow, and joyous songs from full hearts flow. Is this the right road home? Yes, child, this very path I trod. The clouds were dark for me. The stony path was sharp and hard. Not sight, but faith could see that at the end the sun shines bright forever where there is no night, and glad hearts rest from earth's fierce fight. It is the right road home." This is our confidence in crisis. We're on the right road home. This too shall pass. You know, some of you have probably heard of Hudson Taylor, the founder of the China Inland Mission. On his way, on his voyage to China, he faced a crisis. The ship he was on was drifting toward an island populated by cannibals. And there was no wind. And the cannibals were waiting on the shore, expecting to get a feast here in a little while. And the captain came to Hudson Taylor, and he asked him to pray to God for help. "We need a wind to blow." And so Taylor told the captain, said, "I'll pray. I will pray on this condition that you set the sails." And the captain said, He wasn't going to make a fool out of himself when there was no wind blowing in front of his sailors. And Taylor said, "All right, I'm not going to pray unless you set the sails." And so the captain finally agreed to set the sails, and Hudson Taylor went to his room to pray. And while he's praying in his room, he heard a knock on the door, and he said, "Who is it?" And the captain responded, "Are you still praying for wind?" "Yes," said Taylor. He said, "Well, you better stop praying. We got more wind than we can manage." I'm telling you, brother, in our worst trials, when it seems like things can't get any better, any worse, you know, when we're drifting toward the cannibals, go ahead and pray. but set your sails and get ready for the wind to blow. And brother, these cannibals were cheated out of a meal, and China received one of the greatest missionaries of modern times because he was a man that prayed and a man that set the sails. And I want us here this morning to pray in our crisis and set the sails, because God's going to send the wind. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. I believe this morning that God's got an answer for you. I know there are people in this place, people in this place right here, that you are facing the storm of your life. And you are in a trial and circumstances you never thought you'd face. But I'm telling you about one that you can have confidence in, no matter how big the crisis may be, no matter how overwhelming the opposition may be. I'm telling you that God can be trusted. Set your sails, call on the name of the Lord, get ready for the wind to blow, brother. God is our deliverer and he's our helper in the time of trouble. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, David said, and he heard me out of his holy hill. God bless you. Thank you for your attention.